get 9 more free throws, have 21 offensive rebounds, and create 15 turnovers, and you lose a basketball game at home. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
It doesn't happen very often at all.
I mean, that this and for such a talented offensive team, I think Jordy Bohannon said it best. He's like, sometimes when we get off the rails, we don't know how to get back on.
No, and that's exactly right. And you would just think, too, you know, it's senior day.
Oh.
It's playing for a double bye 2 seed. You know, a little bit of a rival, Nebraska. Everything was aligned for you to take care of business. You've been playing pretty well for the most part. Just drop the ball.
Yeah, and it's odd that happens. And I wanted to get your take on this, and I thought about it a little bit for Caitlin on Saturday. I thought about it for the Iowa Hawkeyes for this whole Big Ten tournament. After having such a high of winning the Big Ten tournament last year, and then you came out, you know, 4 days later, 5 days later, and laid an egg in the NCAA tournament with these conference championships at the end of the year. You know, if it doesn't help your seeding, and for a lot of these teams it doesn't, man, that's a lot of games in a little bit of time.
It is. You know, that's why you look at like Drake, right? When they have them, I mean, so they're done. And so now they get a good 10, 11 days to sit back and relax. You know, again, relax is a very loose term. But they'll take a couple of days off, I'm sure. They'll watch some games. They'll get ready for whoever they play, where these teams that make it to Sunday, like Iowa women, for example, or whoever will this weekend. The turnaround is so quick. Argument to be said about both, right? Like, hey, we're playing our best basketball. We don't have too many days off, so we can keep it rolling.
Yep.
Yet we don't get to rest guys or get them, you know, healthy to a degree compared to the alternative of that. Hey, we won it, so now we know we're in. Let's just get some rest and get ready to go. It's tough for those that are playing on Sunday of this upcoming weekend.
Once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare. He is at KOHare55. I have so many coaching questions for you today. Let's take it just a brief step back and talk about these Drake Bulldogs and their ability in the NCAA tournament. I think this is a year. I look at the top. I have it open here of the top 16 teams. There's some good teams on here. There's no doubt about it. But
yep,
with Drake's experience, I think that's the one thing that's always been there. If you have experience, you can have a freshman who's really good or a sophomore is really good. But, man, if you have a couple of seniors and a couple of juniors that have been there, I think what Coach DeVries has at Drake right now with that, just that core of kids, man, I think they're going to be – I wouldn't want to play them in the first round or second round of the NCAA tournament if I'm a Power 5 team.
No, I wouldn't either. Again, I think we saw, you know, an age for those top 5 guys here not too long ago. I think I saw 2 25-year-olds, a 24-year-old,
yes,
2 23-year-olds, and then Tucker 20. But I mean, it's insane. And then you got glue guys like Sertz and you know, Brody that just does what he does under the basket. And they will be a pain, I think, for somebody. You know, it's fun to kind of see the projections, right? Whether it be Iowa State, maybe a 7-10 matchup type thing. It'll be interesting to see how those play out because those teams do not play each other anymore, obviously, during the season. I would love to see it first round.
I would, too. I am there with you. And I think the key is Tucker. And you can tell right away he's a coach's kid. And then you forget, because I was watching him finish that game out yesterday when it wasn't set in stone. But the last 3 minutes, at 6'7", he can take anybody to the hole. And he can finish. And he shoots free throws well. It's just a fun kid who we get to watch for a couple more years.
Yeah, it is. And not to open up can of worms, but it'll be interesting to see if he finishes out at Drake or good old dad goes anywhere.
Yep, that is absolutely the truth. And you would hate that to happen because of all the good things. But when you win 25 games 4 years in a row, people start looking. They better start looking. I mean, that's the thing. Here's the number one reason why I wanted to have you on. I want to talk about Caitlin, so that's 1A. When you have something that happened at Iowa State, and we don't know the whole story, but you can tell that it was a disruption in the locker room. And you could tell a little bit by the play. You could tell a little bit that maybe not everybody was on the same page or didn't have their minds in the same quadrant even. And then you take care of a situation, you take the hit for a couple of days, and then a team steps out on the floor at Baylor, not an easy place to play. They're right on top of you. It's loud. And you come out and you play like that. How does that happen? How do you get that to happen as a coach? Or is it just luck?
It's a great question. I'm sure it's both. I'm sure they, you know, it's kind of a come to Jesus type meeting with the team and things like that. And not that Caleb Grill was, you know, not a huge part of that team or was, you know, I don't even like to use the word, you know, the cancer to the team, but I need to find a better word, but, you know, sometimes addition by subtraction, but you wouldn't think that of Caleb because he seemed to be such a great teammate, obviously a great player, all that good stuff. You know, sometimes the troops just kind of rally around each other. Coach Oz, I'm sure, brought them together, gave them, you know, a great pep talk or whatever. They're playing for a lot, obviously. And there's probably some luck involved. I know Keontae George for Baylor obviously didn't play very well for himself. So, you know, a little bit of both, a little bit of luck and a little bit of coming together.
And I think when you take a look at, you know, Eli King gets 8 minutes, the CEO who's kind of the heart of their team got a couple of minutes. Some other players got minutes, and the ones that had been getting a little bit of minutes got more minutes, and you saw how in the game they were. I think that's the hardest thing, because every athlete, no matter where you're at, every athlete thinks that they should be starting and scoring and doing all that, and when it's not happening, you're going to have some negative energy that comes off of you, and I don't know what TJ did, and I said from the minute that game started, that is the TJ from last year coaching. I don't know if he was calling plays, but he was on the floor yelling, clapping, making sure that everybody understood that he loved what they were doing. He hadn't been doing that for a while.
No, you're right. It almost was just like something had been, you know, released from their back or whatever, that weight on their back, so to speak. And then again, like you said, everybody moves up one spot in the rotation. It's pretty remarkable that they were able to go on the road and do that with a big piece being gone and then just the distraction of it all, so to speak. So kudos to the coaching staff, obviously, for rallying the troops and for the guys being ready to go and taking advantage of an opportunity down there in Baylor to hopefully keep their seedings, you know, going in the right direction.
Once again, we are talking to Kevin O'Hare, Coach Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare55 on Twitter. All right, so let's talk about the weekend Big Ten tournament, Caitlin. Number one, those last 3 days is some of the best basketball. I don't men's, women's, I don't care. It was rough. It was great shooting. It was defense. It was offense. It was coaching. I mean, everything. If you can't buy into watching women's sports, and you watch that this weekend, you're not a sports fan.
No, I don't even know what to say, right? Like, talk about, I had friends, you know, text me, like, and their texts were like, I hate Caitlin because now I'm watching so much women's basketball.
Exactly.
And, you know, stuff like that. And obviously you and I, we like to talk about her. We could talk about her for days before we get into that. How about, you know, Warnock and Marshall, right?
Like, yes. Just unbelievable.
You know, huge role players. Kate Martin obviously doing what she does. Monica was a stud. But just getting Gabby and Warnock to make shots just is huge for that team. It just allows the two big guns to be who they are, and it takes a little pressure off them because they're getting really good looks from Gabby and Warnock, and to their credit, they both knocked down a boatload of threes.
I mean, you're not as old as I am, but when they were playing Maryland, that's Brad Sellers' daughter.
I know.
You're like, okay, I could be Brad Sellers' dad, and he has a daughter that's playing in college basketball.
When they said that the other day, it took me back to the Luke Longleys, the Tony Kukoc, the Bill Wennington, obviously Jordan Pippen, Kerr Paxton, but I thought of that the same thing.
And she plays just like him, too. I mean, she is there was so much. When you take Indiana, you take all the – I mean, it's – it's just there's a lot of talent there. And then you're looking at some of the teams, you know, that are still out there and all the things that are going to happen. It is going to be – the NCAA women's tournament is going to be crazy, and it's going to matter more on the women's side where you're seated. I think the men's side, people after that first weekend are going to be taking their projections, their sheet, and ripping it up and saying, I'm not doing it ever again, because I don't know who's good on the men's side, but there's 10 teams on the women's side that are going to be in that final grouping. That's going to be a heck of a show.
It is. You know, I saw the preliminary ones come out, obviously, for the women's side, Charlie Cream, and he has Iowa's the number one 2 seed,
right,
which is great because you stay away from South Carolina until you have to. But the 3 seed in that bracket, and again, is Connecticut.
Right.
So, like, just to get to the Elite Eight,
you got to be
Connecticut.
Yeah, who's had injuries. And, they're not getting those people back, but they're still a good team.
They're so good still, yeah. And so, you know, you feel, it's like you feel good you're not with South Carolina, and then you look up and you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get by UConn just to get to this round. So it's crazy.
Well, at least you've played. I think that's a step in the right direction, that you actually know. They just didn't play very well, but it's going to be on a neutral court too, so that makes it easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, in beating Indiana and Maryland and what you just did to Ohio State from a confidence standpoint, I mean, you've got to be playing with a ton of confidence no matter who you play. You got to feel good about yourself if you're the Hawkettes.
And I think that is, when you look at it, there's never going to be, and you've been around her for a lot longer than I have, but there's never going to be a point in time where Caitlin lacks confidence. The only time that you have to do, and I've known you've talked to her, I've said stuff to her before too, the only time sometimes that shows is confidence in her teammates. I think that's the one thing this year that doesn't even exist. I don't think there's even been an inkling of her giving a stink eye or any of that. I mean,
right,
think she's outgrown that. I think she's taken out all that she may be mad at people on the other squad. And I think that it's working for her.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they just have such a tight bond and relationship with their teammates and stuff like that. But I think she's passed up quite a bit of opportunities from a scoring standpoint to make the extra pass or to find the extra, even against single coverage. Obviously, she's going to make hopefully the right decision with double. But she's even, I think, passing up some opportunities to feed her teammates with single coverage that I don't think we would see in the past, which is, I think, a credit to some of her growth.
I do too, and I think the 10 rebounds and 17 assists meant more to her than the 30 points and the win. And
for sure.
And I don't know if that was always there. I still think it's there, but you know, she's like, well, I need to get here. And I think she now knows she has so much help, and she's going to have that help's coming back next year. And then this is the one I couldn't wait to talk to you about this too. I love Monica. I think she's a great player. Having Hannah Stolke on the floor running with Caitlin is going to be fun to watch.
It is. We're going to have to get Hannah at the free throw line this summer, though.
Yeah, a lot of free throw line.
But she's a unicorn and a gazelle from that standpoint, and an athletic freak, and she's amazing to watch. And her, obviously, next 3 or potentially 4 years is going to be just unreal to watch.
Okay, so let's talk about it. 30-10-17 in a Big Ten championship game. That doesn't happen very often. And it was, I get that it was, the score wasn't the same, but you know, she doesn't know how to shut it off, does she?
No. And again, if she wasn't like this, she wouldn't be the player she is. And you know, but we can always, you'd rather tame that person down than have to pull it out of them.
Yep.
So, I mean, and again, you change her and she's never going to be the player she is. So, again, for those of the people out there that, you know, you get a little bent out of shape for, you know, the gestures to the fans or the extra excitement or whatever. I mean, if that's the worst thing she's got going for her, I think life's going to be okay. But yeah, I mean, it was incredible to watch, and her efficiency was insane. I mean, I think I saw her plus minus was a plus 43, which is like through the roof.
Yep.
She's been really just amazing to watch this.
Two
year.
Passes that freaked me out. One was to Molly Davis, who, if Molly Davis was a half an inch shorter, that might have hit her and knocked her into the goalpost, or to the basket. The fact that she caught that ball and got that ball up and in is amazing on her part, but the pass was unreal. And then that last pass to Monica, you know, in a point you needed to keep a run from them happening, she takes a pass like that, and kudos for Monica. I mean, there's a lot of I've seen that happen. There's a lot of times that's right in your face and breaks your nose, and she caught it and put it in. But I mean, that's I think of all the things I couldn't remember how many threes she had. I can't remember any of those things, but those are the two things that stood out to me, and her defense. Which yeah. I think she takes more pride in. I think you have a lot to do with that. I think Jan Jensen has a lot to do with that as well, that her defensive ability has changed.
Yeah, I mean, she took a charge. I mean, I almost fell out of my seat when I saw that, for starters. When athletic girls are driving right by her on the baseline, she's right with them, chest to chest. She's bumping. I mean, she's done a great job. All credit to her and obviously Jan Jensen.
As always, buddy, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk again.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coach Kevin O'Hare, you're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Be right back.
Sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Hope everybody, it's Tuesday. Gosh, I wish it was Tuesday. It's Monday. Wow. Holy buckets. Where'd that come from? It's Monday. That's what it happened. It's Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 Champ AM. 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. I want to thank Coach O'Hare for coming in and talking on the program today. I could talk to him for 2 hours a day. This segment's going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. The urgent injury clinics are open at both their Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointments needed. Look up wait times online at DMOS.com. New to DMOS is Engineer Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Always also have a location in Huxley. Joey Glenn is going to take care of you and get you in the right frame of mind. I need to go see Joey really bad to have that happen. Some breaking news out there. 5 minutes ago, Adam Schefter. Now, this is an interesting thing because you have Lamar Jackson sitting out there and tagging, not tagging. Derek Carr was 4 years, $150 million. $100 million of that guaranteed. He's a little bit older. He's in his 30s. I would love to tell you that I know how old Geno Smith is. Let me see if I can look it up really quick, because I think that makes a difference on his contract. But Geno Smith, age. He's 32. So He's 4 years younger than, because I think I'm almost positive that is, nope, my goodness, Derek Carr's 31, so he still has, man, wow, okay, I get that, so 32 and 31, Geno Smith got a 3-year, $105 million contract, including $52 million in the first year. Derek Carr got $60 million at signing today. Quarterbacks are getting paid. Derek Carr and Geno Smith can both lead you to the playoffs. They can get you places. They're not Lamar Jackson. I'm extremely curious to see what's going to happen to Lamar Jackson, but there you go. So a couple of pieces off the board for teams out there looking for quarterbacks. So I think these two quick signings today, I think, is going to change the landscaping a little bit to see what happens. So they did today, the appeals board 2-1 approved the settlement to the Iowa Hawkeye players for discrimination at the University of Iowa. And it was like $4.2 million. $2.175 of that paid by the athletic department, and $2 million of that paid by us taxpayers of the state of Iowa. I don't know how I feel about that, but it is what it is. You know, sometimes it I don't know. It's difficult. Whenever you have, we talked earlier in the show about Mark Adams saying some things that he should have known better that you can't say in a locker room, and knowing the room in the locker room, just things you can't say. You know, that it's coaching has changed a lot. Coaching's not like it was coaching back in the, when did I start? So high school would have been ninth grade. So that would have been 1979, 1980. And to be really honest with you, in 1979 and 1980 leading up, not a lot of yelling and screaming, but man, you knew, and you know, you knew where you stood. It's changed a lot, and you have to be. One of the things, you know, that I, through some of these different lawsuits and everything, it's like, you know, well, we don't think that we said the things that we said we didn't think were meant in a harmful way. That's usually the out, right? Well, no, I'm assuming not. I mean, why would you want to say harmful things? But the thing you don't know is you don't always know your audience. You don't know everything they've been through. You don't know things. You have to be careful about what you say. And I get it. It happens. It happens in sometimes in a jokingly manner. It happens sometimes in the heat of the moment. It happens sometimes, you know, I think in the heat of the moment is the big time. And especially on a basketball court, at a basketball practice, less people. Football, it's harder to do. I mean, there's 120 kids on a football team, a college football team, 80, 90 kids on a high school football team. What are we at? 80 some, maybe not always on the field or on the sideline in professional football. And it's a brutal game. And so sometimes brutality is something, but this isn't the 70s and 80s anymore. And I think the change is social media, because there's always somebody. You better understand that there's always somebody with a phone on you if you're about ready to do something stupid. You know, the majority of time, if some of my buddies, and you know, it's a couple of groups of buddies. One would be my high school buddies, and one would be my allied group insurance buddies when we were just out of college, downtown, making money and having fun. And you go, oh my gosh, glad we didn't have cell phones. Cell phones came like 4 or 5 years later, because we were young and having fun. And that's what a lot of these, you know, we've talked about Ja Morant today. Do I think Ja Morant is a bad person? Absolutely not. Do I think that John Morant, to a certain extent, has some people that he's still trying to help, little hanging on a little bit? Yes. It happens. He has money. That's the one thing that a lot of his buddies and him as one, it got you out of where you were. Your ability to perform turned into dollars that you can change the world. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, $55,000 working at a Casey's. We're talking about $200 million contract for 5 years. And instead of, you know, and this is difficult. I mean, I'd want to spend some money too, but I'd also want to spend some money on some people, not just on myself. People are going to do a deep dive on Jaws social media now. It's no different. Let's take another Patrick. This has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes cannot take care of what his brother has done or been charged with or is being investigated about. But he has to get to a point where he goes, okay, you're my brother, but where you're at right now, you can't be around me, my family, my kids, and my organization. And he's going to have to cut ties for a while because you can't afford Patrick Mahomes as the, not the football player, but Patrick Mahomes as the entrepreneur and marketing and managing all the other things outside of football, can't have his brother around doing the things that his brother is doing or being accused of doing. Calvin Ridley he lost a whole year of football on injured reserve, betting on like us doing fantasy football. He knew the rules, so I'm okay with that. He knew what he did. But you have some people that have done some stuff in the NFL that are still playing in the NFL that probably shouldn't be playing in the NFL. I do believe that Mark Adams, with what Mark Adams said, it is my opinion that Mark Adams is going to be dismissed from the Texas Tech basketball team. Maybe not because just this, but because he's not winning. If he'd have won 25 games and been in the bye for the Big 12, I'm thinking they might have said, hey, we might sit you down in a couple of these Big 12 tournament games, but have you back ready to go. You know what? We'll have you back ready to go by the time of the NCAA tournament. And this is why earlier in the show I also gave credit where credit is due sometimes with the Texas Longhorns and how they reacted to Chris Beard. And you have the people out there saying, well, he wasn't found guilty. Well, if you knew anything about domestic abuse and domestic violence, getting them to go to court and to press charges is one of the most difficult things to do because they feel threatened and they don't want that. So the Texas Longhorns did the right thing. I think Texas Tech is going to do the right thing too. And I think they're going to base it on, this is the reason I'm doing it, but I think they're basing it on the fact that he's not winning basketball games. And I don't know how I feel about that. If that is a good enough reason, If you want to fire him for not winning basketball games, what he did is a fireable offense. I'm all for that, and I understand it. But it is he could be let go because he's not winning either, and that's okay. The reason that we sit around and we talk about, you know, well, he's leaving here and going there, he's doing this or doing that, and the reason I have such a hard time with some of these college coaches in any sport who are saying that, you know, it's not right that these student athletes are getting the ability to earn money when you recruit these kids, you talk to them, we all know the spiels, we all know the stuff they say. 50% true, 50% false, no matter what, makes you feel good. and it doesn't work out your way. Well, if it doesn't work out their way, they either get to walk away, or if they've had success, they get to leave and go somewhere else, and you're stuck. It's finally about time they take care of stuff like that, and I'm glad they have. And it means a lot, I think, to I think the teams that do that correctly and understand NIL, and there's a lot of teams out there that do. And I think those teams, it behooves them to continue to do that, because I think that will change recruiting. I've always said that about LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Ohio State. Name, image, and likeness, but there's only so much to go around. You can't have 15 5-stars and only 5 of them are getting on the field. Those other 10 are going to go, I can't make money if I'm not on the field playing. I think it's going to, I believe in my heart of hearts that it is going to change the outlook of college athletics by spreading out talent to more places. And I think that's why you're going to see, if you had a reason why the Pac-12 is going to fail and it's going to have to break up, it's going to be that. Because you can't have less teams than what everybody else does and still get the pieces of the pies that you need. You need to have those other things. And I don't think that they have. Here's two. I don't think the Pac-12 has Oregon and Washington where they think they have Oregon and Washington. And I think Oregon and Washington are going to go to the Big Ten. And I think the four corners, the Colorados, the Arizona, Arizona State, and the Utah – are going to see what Oregon and Washington are going to do, and they're going to go, you know what, the time is right, we're going to jump to the Big 12. Does that happen this year? I don't know. Does it happen next year? I don't know. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen before you're going to see the Pac-12 get enough money in whatever TV contract that they can get that's going to be able to keep all those guys together and not bring other people in to get you some different markets that you can jump in. I think they're in a really bad spot. And I thought of all the teams or all the conferences, I thought the ACC would be in the worst spot. And I don't even know what spot they're in. I don't think they know what spot they're in. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Last segment, a lot to talk about still. Be right back.
Listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment, second hour, end of this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. Twitter is at 1700thechamp and at Steen on Sports. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's now been more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 500 jobs are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking, keeping the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, and Northwest Bank and Woodman Controls for being a part of our program. Could not do this without them. All right, just to give you a quick update. So SoCon, Southern Conference, championship tonight, Chattanooga against Furman. Going to be somebody getting into the big dance tonight. Wednesday, Big Ten tournament begins. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska. Thursday, you're going to get Rutgers and Michigan at 10:45, Penn State and Illinois at 5:15, and Maryland against somebody at 7. You did not hear the Iowa game on there. We cannot play the Iowa game on our station because of their affiliation with WHO. Friday is Purdue versus somebody, Michigan State versus somebody, Northwestern versus somebody, and Indiana versus somebody. You'll get the semifinals on Saturday. You'll also get the Pac-12 championship late Saturday night, and then the Ivy League, Big Ten, and Selection Sunday on Sunday. That's a lot of basketball. Enjoy. So with that being said, I am here for this segment today, right here. I'm here tomorrow, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott and I will both be here, and then heading right from here to Grand Junction to play a little trivia, which is going to be fun. Then I am off through, I do believe I come back to work on, let me check just to make sure. I think I come back on the 21st. Let me make sure that is correct. Yes, I come back on the 21st, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll, finish out the NCAA tournament, find out who's been playing well, who's not, get ready for NBA, get ready for football drafts and free agency and all the stuff. While I'm gone, pay attention to social media. I'll be on social media a lot while I'm staring at the snow and the fun in Breckenridge, which I'm really excited to do. It was very, very soothing to go there last year, so I'm looking forward to going there again. Okay, so I talked a little bit about Geno Smith on the way in or way out of a commercial break. That's a pretty big contract. It's very interesting where we are at now with all this being said. Geno Smith's career earnings, get this, folks. His career earnings through 10 seasons was $17.55 million. That's a lot of money. Think about that, $17.55 million, government takes half. That's still eight and a half. Geno Smith's annual value is $35 million. So he doubled his career earnings, and he's making that a year now. That's what happens when you get into a system and you figure it out and you play well. And it's going to be interesting what happens with Lamar Jackson. Somebody asked me today and asked me, I even got a couple of text messages. Why did Derek Carr, why didn't he go to the Jets? Well, here's the reason that I would not have gone to the Jets. And let me hit it right now. If you go to the Jets, you have Josh Allen, Tua, Joe Burrow, maybe Lamar Jackson. You have Trevor Lawrence. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have Justin Herbert. And you have Russell Wilson. That's the reason you go, because, Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts. Okay, Dak Prescott. I mean, Jalen Hurts got to a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott has not yet. Sorry, T. New York Giants, I don't know what they're going to do with Daniel Jones. If you tag him, that's a lot of money for Daniel Jones. Washington Commanders are looking. Minnesota Vikings have Kirk Cousins. You never know. Lions, same. Jared Goff, you don't know. You have no idea what the Packers are going to do. You have Justin Fields. We have no idea what Chicago's going to do. Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Atlanta have nobody. We talked about that already today. You don't know what the San Francisco, they're not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo. And to have Brock Purdy first game out of the year could be up in the air. Trey Lance, you don't know. The Los Angeles Rams. I mean, you have Geno Smith. I like Geno Smith. Does he scare you? Is he Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow? No. Trevor Lawrence? No. Arizona Cardinals have Kyler Murray. Who knows? The Rams have Matthew Stafford. You don't even know if he can throw a ball yet. I mean, if you're Derek Carr and you want to go somewhere and you want to win, the New Orleans Saints actually have a really good team. Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill just didn't cut it. So I think where he went and not to go to the Jets, the AFC, it's a drag, folks. It's a lot. That's what everybody's waiting for now, is what does Lamar Jackson get out of the deal? I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, and I have no idea in the world. I have zero, got nothing. I can't wait to see, because I think they could exclusively tag him and he might not play. He's made $26 million. I don't think he spent a dime, unless he spent it on his mom. You have three others here. I mean, this surprised me today. DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Ramsey, and Derrick Henry. All teams have pretty much told them, hey, if you have a trade partner, go out and figure it out. It's going to be interesting. There are some people out there. We've talked about the Iowa Hawkeyes settlement a little bit today, probably more than I thought I was going to, but it's very interesting. It's in its infant stage still. You still have to work through all the things, but it's a $4 million, just a little bit over $4 million. Some of the big headlines that you're getting out of this: BARTA's future question as Hawkeye football discrimination suit settled for $4 million. That's $4 million the athletic department or even the university probably didn't want to spend. It's not the first. I don't know. I don't know what you... I don't know where Gary BARTA stands in the rebuild with the Iowa Hawkeyes. And with the Iowa Hawkeyes, you have one more year before you get USC and UCLA. Divisions are going to go away. They're going to set it up just like the SEC. You're going to pick three teams or whatever that you're going to play consistently. But having a year where you don't play Michigan, Ohio State, you know, some of the better teams, it's probably not going to happen. You're going to be one of those groupings. I mean, you're going to be a team that people want to have in their three group because you're the Hawkeyes. It's going to be really interesting. When Scott comes in tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about the draft. I haven't talked a lot about the draft or the workouts that they did at the combine. I don't know what everybody thinks about Anthony Richardson, but holy buckets, is he an athlete. When you talk about Bryce Young not being 6 foot and not weighing, I mean, I don't know how much water he drank before he got on the scale, but to get up to 204 pounds, I bet it was a lot. I saw this on here. He is the same. This is Anthony Richardson. I got 50 seconds to get this done. Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 244. George Kittle is 6'4", 247. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247. Von Miller is 6'3", 246. Ben Roethlisberger is 6'5", 241. Cam Newton, 6'5", 248. And he's 6'4", 244 and faster than all of them. Now, does that mean that he can run a pro-style offense and do all the things you're going to need to do? Maybe, maybe not. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not Bryce Young. And I've listened to everybody. I wanted to listen and get all of it. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow too. I don't know how you not draft CJ Stroud over all the rest of them, just based on what he did, his size, everything. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be one of the more fun NFL drafts. A lot of talented people in there. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day, trying to do that. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We'll be in here tomorrow. Check it out. See you then.